Good morning, gentlemen. All right, a little hot, huh? All right. It's great to be here with you guys, Benny Youngblood. If I hadn't met you, I really look forward to it. I think I know most everybody in here, and so excited that Eric invited me to come and be one of the speakers for this great group. Man, this is an awesome group. This is a great group of men right here, and looking forward to diving into the subject that Eric and his team gave me on gifts for every believer as we continue our study on the spiritual gifts and really living the spirit-filled life of discovering, developing, and deploying your spiritual gifts. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll dive into our study. You just continue to eat your chicken biscuit. I'll know you're awake if you're doing that, so we'll be fine. If you need a cup of coffee, get it. It won't bother me. We'll be good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these men, these brothers in Christ. And Father, I do pray that you would bless our time. Bless this food that we're partaking. Bless the fellowship. And we would ask that you would take your word and that you would encourage us and that you would strengthen us by your word and by your Holy Spirit this morning. And thank you again for giving us the privilege to be your children, to be here, and that you gave us your Holy Spirit, and that you live and reign over all things, and that we just come this morning and we just acknowledge that you're our Lord, you're our King, you're our Father, and we want to follow you every day of our life, and we're starting this day with you, and pray your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, talking through the different spiritual gifts, I know that this is the fifth time, a fifth study. Some of you may be new to it. This may be your first time here, and that'll be great. It'll stand alone. Or this may be your fifth time here. But what I wanted to do is this subject of gifts for every believer. I wanted to start out and just find out who's here. And what I mean by that, what gifts are here? And you may go, well, I'm not sure I've really discovered my spiritual gift. That's okay. That's what this whole series is about, and hopefully you'll have another step forward this morning. But many of you probably already have. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Now, you may raise your hand on two or three of these. That's fine, because you may have two or three spiritual gifts. But one thing I know that we're asking the Lord to show us is that everybody would know at least your one spiritual gift, because we all have it, which will be one of our major points this morning. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand as I go through each one of these. So those with the gift of service, please serve me and raise your hand. Thank you. Look at that. Man, they were jumping up with that. They knew when I said serve me, they're like, I will serve you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's, and I thank the Lord for you. Hospitality. If you have that gift of hospitality, raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Administration. All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Wisdom. All right. I need to meet. Hey, hold your hand up a little longer. I need to meet with some of y'all. Man, I need some help. Okay. I got some things I need to talk to you about. All right. How about discernment? You're going to be Benny. There's some things you won't want to say today. Okay. Help me out. All right, what about the gift of knowledge? All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Intercession. Okay, I definitely have a list for you to please pray for me. I got some major things. All right, we all do. Did you notice if you have a table with somebody's gift of intercession, you are privileged, okay? So you're about to pray at the end of this time, you make sure you give them your list. All right, leadership, gift of leadership. All right, praise the Lord. Evangelist. Who has that? All right. Amen. Amen. They're going to find one of y'all to share with this morning. They may have shared with you three times, but they're going to share with one of you about the gospel. Praise the Lord. All right. Helps. Who has the gift of helps? All right. Shepherding. Who has the gift of shepherding? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Mercy. Gifts of mercy. Amen. Amen. Teaching. Gifts of teaching. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. faith. Gift of faith. I always say my wife has a gift of faith because she married me and she's still there. So there's no doubt she has a gift of faith. So anyway, all right, that's the best joke I got this morning. Y'all got to just hang in there with me. All right, missionary, gift of missionary. All right, praise the Lord. All right, giving. Amen. Exhortation or encouragement, kind of two sides of the same coin in the Scripture. All right, good. And you may have gone, hey, I did the inventory and I didn't see the gift of encouragement. You'll notice in the definition it covers both sides, so that would be exhortation and encouragement. Well, thank you so much. That's really good. And one thing I noticed, there wasn't a gift that somebody didn't raise their hand. That's pretty remarkable that in here, all 17 of those, now, you know, we know that this more than likely isn't a complete list, but it's a good list. Okay, these are ones that we know is a really, really good list. But praise the Lord that those gifts are here. Well, we're going to dive into one of the key passages this morning. And you have a note sheet. If you haven't found it yet, it's on your table. If you like that, if not, you can look up here. And if not, you can listen to me, whatever you prefer. But we're going to dive into Romans 12. And really, we're going to concentrate 3 through 8. But how can you talk about 3 through 8 without talking about verses 1 and 2? That great passage in Romans 12. And we know that this is that transitional chapter and passage in the Scripture where in the beginning of Romans, it's outlining the gospel of Christ and how we need to know Him, our need for Christ. And it goes all the way through and it just unpacks, as we're learning on Sunday morning, the great gospel of Christ. And then in Romans 12, there's a turn to the so what. Or how do I live this out? Or what does this mean in my life? Now, yes, there's practical things in the first 11 chapters, but in from 12 to 16, it lays out how do we to live for Christ? How does this gospel impact my life? And so we see that in verses 1 and 2, it's going to initiate or it's going to bring us into, okay, here's what the next, you know, chapters are about. And let's go ahead and read that. I'm not going to teach on it, but I do want to read it for our context, say a couple things, and then we're going to jump in verses 3 through 8. This is the word of the Lord, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we see so much in that passage, and many of us have memorized it, we've studied it, we've heard it preached, but as a reminder this morning, God has lavished His great love upon us. He's lavished His mercies. And that's what that first part of those first 11 chapters, and it says, now, because of that, we present everything we are, our whole life, as a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable to God. It says, I appeal, I employ, I beg, I challenge, I encourage, I tell you this is what God wants there in that first, you know, verse there. To be a living sacrifice, to live a holy and acceptable life for Christ. By the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, not perfect, but pursuing Christ every moment of every day of our life is what He's telling us to do. And then He says, here's how you do that, or here's a point. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Make sure that's a moment by moment, day by day thing. You're doing that this morning. You're doing that through being a part of Bible studies and your daily time with God, and just the Word and the Spirit renew our mind. It transforms our life. God uses it to bring us in, conform us into the image of Christ. And then we take the Scripture, we take the teaching, and everything we do, we test and that we discern what the will of the Lord is. Now, when it's in the Scripture, there's no doubt, right? It's the will of the Lord. So everything I read out of Scripture today, you don't have to question whether it's true. It is.
It's the will of God. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. We know that. But those things that are taught, those things that we hear, those things that are around, we need to discern and test them. Are they the will of God? Are they good and acceptable and perfect? And so then he starts outlining what is good, acceptable, and perfect. How we live as living sacrifices. How we live a holy life and a life that's acceptable to God. How we live out the will of God from that point on, all the way through the rest of Romans. He's laying it out. So what's the first thing he's going to do after he just told us that? He goes to verse 3 through 8. And he's going to talk about holy community or the body of Christ or how we're to live together. And he keeps unfolding that in chapter 12 of the biblical community or how we live together as the people of God to glorify God every day of our life. And then also in that context is where he brings out the spiritual gifts that he has given us. And so the first thing he's going to go to in living holy and acceptable out the will of God and to glorify Him is the spiritual gifts in the context of biblical community or living as the people of God with the Spirit of God in us. So let's read verses 3 through 8. I'll make a few comments and then we're going to go deep in verse 6. That's going to be our key verse. So when I get there, make sure you key into it. But I'll definitely read it again a few times this morning. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. Okay, let's just stop there. Is that you? Is that me? Yeah. It's everyone among you. All right, so God said, hey, just in case you didn't get it, the scripture is for you. It all is for all the believers, but here he is telling us, hey, by the grace given to me, I say this to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Then he outlines seven of these gifts. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So here we see that God said, it's by my grace that I saved you. It's by my grace that I've given you the Holy Spirit. He sealed you in Christ. It's by my grace and by that Spirit that's in you, I give you a spiritual gift. And I welded you together as my people. You are part of each other. You are connected spiritually deeper than anything you could ever imagine. You're going to spend eternity together. So we need to live like it now. Okay, that's what it's saying. You know, make sure we got to get ourselves outside of ourselves and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God, and letting the Spirit of God teach and guide and direct us and to use us for His glory. You're the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We represent the Lord Jesus here on earth now. We are His body. He's our head, but we're His body. And can't any one of us glorify Him and represent Him the way He wants. He says, I've connected you all to each other. There's many of you, but you're all one. That's how I function. Jesus, remember He prayed in the garden right before He went to the cross that we would all be unified and one just as He and the Father are one? How unified is that? That's pretty unified, right? It's perfect. More than we could ever imagine. And He says, that's my prayer is that you would be functioning as one. And you do that for me and filled with the Spirit, but using your spiritual gifts, that's a function of being in the body of Christ that we would know, that we would grow in, and that we would use our spiritual gift for the glory of God. And that's what he's saying here, that there's one body, many members, but we don't have the same function. So, though many are one body in Christ, individually members of each other. Let's look at that verse 6 a little deeper. And as I said, that's going to be our outline really for today, our 3 points. Having gifts that differ, just the first part of verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Having gifts. God's given every single believer a spiritual gift. Now, you go, Benny, I've heard that the last 4 lessons. Well, good. Praise the Lord. Then we're all saying the right thing. But this, now we're in Romans, and it says it again. God wants to make sure we get it, that we each have a spiritual gift. And I'm just going to hit on this quickly. And that spiritual gift, when you look at that in the Greek, it's charisma. Y'all know what charis means, right? Somebody say it. What does it mean? What's charis? All right, grace. So it's a grace gift, right? So when you just look at it, it's a grace gift. God has given us our spiritual gift. When He came in to our life, when Jesus Christ, by the person of the Holy Spirit, redeemed us, and He placed His Spirit in us, and He brought a gift, at least one. Some of you have more than one. But at least one spiritual gift, and that's a grace gift. It wasn't based on Him going, oh, I'm going to give, you know, Bob this gift because he'll use it so great. Or I'm going to give Jim this gift, or I'm going to give John, or I'll just name anybody. I can't name y'all. But so I'm going to use, you know, I'm going to give him this gift because he'll do a great job with it. No. Or I'm not going to give him this gift because he'll mess it up. No. God didn't, that's not how He did that. He determined before time began that He would save you, and in that He would give you a spiritual gift because He sees the whole plan. He sees the whole kingdom. He sees what He's going to do and what He's doing and what He's going to finish. He sees that work. And not only does He see it, He's sovereignly working it. It's happening. We're in the middle of the kingdom of God going forward, and you're in it right now. We're all there. We need to know and go, okay, what is my spiritual gift? What's my grace gift? Let me give you a working definition for a spiritual gift. I put it on your page. It's a little long, but yet it's, if you read all 4 of those key passages, and you've already studied 3 of them, I think this is the 4th one, so you get all 4 as of today. This is where it came from, and you'll notice that. A spiritual gift is a special attribute graciously given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to equip a Christian to fulfill their specifically designed function in the body of Christ, to further the kingdom of God for the glory of God. That's what we're talking about. That's our spiritual gift, and we need to make sure that we discover that spiritual gift. How do we do that? Ray mentioned some of this at the very beginning of that first talk. If you wasn't here, let me just review or say it really, really quick. But we do it through prayer. God says, ask and I will give that to you. He will not hide your spiritual gift from you. He wants you to know it. So we pray and we ask, believing that God will show it to us. And then He'll help guide it. Part of this teaching and everything here that you've been hearing, that's part of it as well, because we need to examine the Scriptures. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to say, what does He say about spiritual gifts? You know, we know in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 12, He says, I don't want you to be unlearned or ignorant. I want you to know what your spiritual gifts are and how they function in the body. And that's where 1 Corinthians 12 just unpacks that, or how it teaches us about that. So we earnest prayer, examine the Scriptures, and then evaluate. Or just we evaluate both inward and outward, meaning we will take an inventory, or we will look and we'll ask some good questions. If you want more about that, I can give you that. But we evaluate. And then other people, we ask them feedback. And then we just engage. We engage in the body. We engage in the body work. We engage in Jesus' work and just exercise. We just do something, and then God then unfolds and helps make sure that we know our spiritual gift. And not only do we need to discover it, but because He's given us the spiritual gift, we need to develop our spiritual gift. And you may go, well, that's good. I hope that today you hear very practical, boots on the ground application things. And you know, that's kind of where I'm coming from in this, because of the topic, gifts for every believer. I'm like, okay, here's how you discover it. Just told you those. And now here's how you develop it, or things that help. We develop our spiritual gift in team, or just in the church, or in the body of Christ, in biblical community. That's where we develop our spiritual gifts, by working together with each other, serving one another, ministering together, reaching out together in our community. And that we do that in team or in the body of Christ. We do that also by training or being equipped. We need to be learners. We need to be teachable. We need to make sure that we're sensitive to the Spirit's teaching through His Word and through other people, and to make sure that we come expecting He's going to teach us every time the Word's open and every moment we open our Bible and as we're walking through the day, but especially in our developing our spiritual gifts, we need to do that by being trained, being equipped by the Word of God and by the people of God in the context of the body of Christ. And then trainers. We need to have mentors and models and people that we listen to and people we read and things that we go to that can be informally or formal mentors or models, people that we interact with. It could be people with similar gifts, so that are ahead of us in life or that we see them using that gift, or it could be people that have just those abilities and skills to be able to pass on the Word and to help teach us or to guide us and that give us honest feedback. And so we develop our spiritual gifts in the context of team, training, and trainers. Alexander McLaren, that great Scottish pastor there, he became a believer in the Second Great Awakening. He said this: if a Christian man is fit for no Christian work, it is time for him to gravely ask himself whether he has any Christian life. Having gifts, now that's that passage in Romans 12:6 where it says, having gifts that differ. Having gifts, this is his commentary on this, having gifts is the basis of all the apostles' exhortations. It's important. It is to him inconceivable that any Christian should not possess and be conscious of possessing some endowment from the life of Christ which will fit him for, bind him to a course of active service. Great word from a great godly man who lived faithfully before the Lord. God has called us. He's given us a spiritual gift and He wants us to know what it is. He wants us to be conscious of it and using it for His glory. That is what He says here, that everything in Paul's teaching, the basis that he would be teaching is you would understand that you have a spiritual gift. You know what it is and you're walking with the Lord and using it, because that's the Christian life. That's what it is. That's the Christian life, is that we would be walking in the Spirit every moment of every day, and that we would be using our spiritual gift for Christ. Well, that brings us to our second point here as we look at Romans 12 and continue to look at that verse. Let's look at 4 through 6 as we look at it, because every believer has differing spiritual gifts. When we talk about gifts for every believer, we have differing spiritual gifts and we have a different function in the body of Christ. Romans 12, 4 through 6, again, the beginning part of 6 says this: for as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Now, I highlighted this for teaching purposes, so you know that's why it's highlighted. Let me start over. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So God has given you, specifically you, every one of you and me too, a specific function in the body of Christ that we're here to do. You have a function. You have a purpose. You have a reason. You have something you're to do for Jesus. And He connects it with your spiritual gifts, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We all have different functions in the body of Christ, in the work of God, and we all have a different gift to accomplish that function. That's how He gave it to us. You know, and that's why He used the body as an example. You know, every part of our body works together to accomplish what our body is doing. And that's what he's saying. Everybody here, you all have a specific function. And then 1 Corinthians 12, let's just read, we're going to go ahead and read this whole, or 4 through 7 and then 11 through 12. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there's a variety of gifts. There's a variety of services. There's a variety of activities. All of these God gave, and He empowers to use for His glory. Let's go on to this, our next thought here. Every believer is to actively use their spiritual gift for Christ. Again, 12:6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. So God says, be actively using that spiritual gift that I have given you. Deploy it, exercise it, use it for me and my kingdom. John Gill, again, a great theologian in the 1700s from England, says this, for all these gifts are not the effects of nature, the fruits of human power, diligence, and industry, but flow from the grace of God, who dispenses them when, where, and to whom He pleases, in a free and sovereign manner, and therefore to be acknowledged as such and used to His glory and for the good of His church and His people. So God has given us gifts for His glory, for His church, for His people to accomplish His work that He is doing here. It's not for us, but it's for Him. So we need to use our spiritual gifts. We do that in the body of Christ. We do that to build up the body of Christ. We do that for the kingdom of God. We use our spiritual gift for the glory of God, not for our glory, but for His glory. We're not building our kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of Christ moving forward. And then take initiative. We have to take initiative. So 5 points of just deploying our spiritual gift. And I want to conclude with these principles. And some I've said things about, so I'm just going to read through 5 things to do. Embrace your gift with thankfulness, humility, and confidence. We need to embrace our spiritual gift with thankfulness, humility, and confidence. And then exercise our gift in the body of Christ in concert with others to build others up in Christ. And then be equipped to use your spiritual gift for the glory of God. And be excited about other people's gift, what their gifts are. Let's be excited about theirs as we embrace our own with thankfulness. We want to be excited about theirs and then encourage them in their use of their gift. You know, the Bible says that we need to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is today. Okay? Who encourage somebody today. Make it a point every day that God would give you a good word to build up a brother or sister in Christ. We need to encourage one another. Some of you have that gift of encouragement. Thank you. I'd love to hang out with you today. I need you. But the rest of us are to encourage one another. Every day we're to be a part of building each other up by giving each other courage and strength for the Christian life. That's what we do. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's today. Now, what do we not do? These are things to not do. Okay? So you got things to do and things to not do. Told you it'd be practical. Do not compare yourselves and your gifts to other people. That will end not good, okay? It either lands on being prideful, you kind of go, well, I think my gift's pretty great, you know? Yeah, I don't know about yours, but mine's good, you know? Or you go, man, his gift's great. Mine stinks. That's a terrible perspective. All gifts are great because God is great, and He's the giver of gifts. And so we don't compare ourselves to others because we could just be frustrated or prideful. Arrogant, or we could be envious. Do not exalt one gift over another. They're all equal in God's economy. The Holy Spirit gives each one equally and valuable, and each one is equal value for the kingdom. Never exalt the gift user. Instead, we're to exalt the gift giver. Do not ignore, forsake, or reject your spiritual gift. Do not have a wrong assumption about your gift. Don't assume you have something that you don't have. You know, you will, God will show you, and then others will let you know as well. And then do not judge others and their gift and how they should use it. You know, somebody has the gift of service. Don't always count on them to do the serving, because we're all to serve one another. We're all commanded to do that. They lead us and give us examples, or you can take any of those 17 gifts. And don't overemphasize the gift for you, or you not having that specific gift as you serve others. Don't overemphasize one gift over the others. That's what was happening in 1 Corinthians. That's what was happening in Corinth, and why part of the reason why 1 Corinthians 12 was there written, and we don't want to fall to that. And don't project your gifts on others. Sometimes, you know, say we have the gift of administration, and we go, you know, Eric could have had two tables and two lines, and we could have all got in here in 3 minutes, you know. Well, maybe so. Or we could have done this, or this could be set up this way. You're probably right. We need you to be a part of each ministry, and we need you to help us, but don't project it and think this person or that person should have your gift, because they don't. That's why we all need to come alongside each other and use our gifts. So, those are things to do, things not to do. Gifts for every believer, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Let's use them. God's given us different gifts. It's all by His grace, and let's make sure that we use them. Every believer has a gift. Every believer has different gifts, and we're to actively use them. R.C. Sproul, in his book, Who is the Holy Spirit, said this: the Spirit gives these gifts to Christ's church. That's you and me. Gives these gifts to Christ's church to empower the people of God to carry out the mission that Christ gave to His people, to bear witness to Him to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God's given us gifts. Briarwood has done amazing things throughout the last 60 plus years. But God's not through yet. If He was, Jesus would already have come back, or you'd be home. He's not through yet. He's got a work that He wants you and I to do for Him in this city, in the world. And what He's saying to us today is, we all have different gifts. Let's use our gifts together as the body of Christ functions together, without animosity, without arrogance, with in humility, loving one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, taking the gospel out, ministering to each other, using every one of our gifts. As we do that, God will be glorified. And the gospel will go forth. People will come to know Jesus. We will grow in our faith. And the kingdom will be expanded in our city and in the world. And that's why they were doing the study on spiritual gifts. It's valuable. It's important. People before us, they used their gifts and they stepped up. It's time for us to step up. Many of you are. And I look up to you in many ways. And you expend yourself for the kingdom of God. And thank you, brothers, for doing that. I'm encouraged by it. But let's not grow weary in doing good. But let us continue, knowing that in due time, He will glorify Himself in and through us, and we'll see all that tapestry that He's been weaving together. Let's use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this time. Thank You, God, for these men. I thank You that they love You, and they got up early, and they got here to be encouraged and strengthened, and then to encourage those around their table to pray for one another, to build each other up in Christ. I pray that You would help them today, and that You would encourage them, and that You would strengthen them, that being here this morning, that Your Spirit would minister to them in a special way. Father, we really do want to be unified in Christ, and we want to use our spiritual gifts, and we just ask You to lead, guide, and direct us, and give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and that we personally and together would walk with You, using our gifts for Your glory and Your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.